Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Welcome to the show today. I'm super excited to introduce a listener, somebody who listened to the show and contacted me and gave me some advice. And I said, hey, how would you like to be on the show? And she was a little hesitant, but I talked her into it. And so here today to share with us is Jamie Todak. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Hi, Jackie.
So go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm born and raised Michigander. I'm 27 years old, and me and my boyfriend just moved out of suburbia to Oxford. It's a little bit rural town in Michigan. We have 13 to 15 acres. About, I'd say half of it is farmable, and then we have a 2-acre like pond and then some wooded area as well, and we're just loving it. It's so much fun.
Okay, excellent. Oh, it sounds absolutely beautiful. All right, so Jamie, before we talk about what you're doing this year, I always like to ask everybody, you probably know this, about to tell us about your first gardening experience. Like, how old were you? Were you a kid, an adult? You know, who were you with? What'd you grow? What'd you do?
Well, I remember, like, growing up with my mom, mainly, she would garden a little bit in our backyard, and I just remember for whatever reason like playing with the compost a lot, and I don't know, like helping her turn it and finding a lot of worms. Like me, I have two brothers, and we would just put, we had clear buckets, and we would put all the worms in and kind of have worm farms. So I was thinking maybe that's why, like, I'm very conscious of like the soil, so that could have been going back to those days.
Cool. Oh, fun. I love having brothers is the best, right? I love my big brother. Even if I hardly ever see him and we don't always get along, having a big brother when you're a kid is the best.
Yeah, this thing, life's interesting for sure.
What does organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening mean to you?
Earth-friendly gardening, I think, to me means growing your own vegetables or flowers or whatever and disrupting the natural cycle of things as little as possible. So not only are you using less fertilizers and chemical additives to it, but because you can get organic things that also impact like the natural course of bees and other insects. So it's just kind of being conscious that even the little things will roll, and if they don't get solved, it develops a larger problem. So just letting nature run its own course, pretty much.
I like that. Who or what inspired you to start using organic techniques?
It all goes back to, I used to be a very big meat eater, and then in high school, one of my friends bet me that I could not, for Lent, give up meat. And I ended up doing a research paper on vegetarianism. And from then, I've just been very health conscious. And in college, I was doing some research papers on GMOs and learned all of the harmful things that that can cause to not only yourself, but the environment. So wanting to stay away from those, that catapulted into, well, what is causing that? Okay, chemicals, let's try to grow organically so that we can, you know, help the world be healthier.
Okay, so there's this girl, I heard her interviewed on Lewis Howes, which is one of my favorite podcasts. Lewis Howes has this interview podcast called The School of Greatness, and he interviewed this woman called Vanny Hurry, I think is her name. And but her website is really easy to remember because she's the food babe, and she is developing this food babe army. And she doesn't really like the name the food babe, but I don't know, it took off. But she is like changing the world by doing like these environmentally conscious studies, gathering research, and then she takes it to places. Like, she's the one that got Chipotle to list their ingredients and kind of decide they're not going to have GMOs in their food anymore. And she's the one, by bringing them petitions, she's really changing like the face of food in America and what gets here. Like, I think one of her big wins recently was Kraft Foods in Europe, they couldn't put this dye in their food, but in the United States, they were able to put some yellow dye in the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And so she got so many people to sign the petition that Kraft stopped putting the dye in the food in the United States too. Like she's really growing. She's coming out with a book, I think, this fall. And she's been a big influence on me. Like I think June 21st, I stopped eating processed food. I like did this trial for like a month, and I just can't believe the difference it's made in my life. After reading just her research and how she just gives you some really good facts. So anyway, the food babe, I think she probably has a podcast. I haven't found her podcast yet, but somebody you might be interested in. And I've been wanting to tell listeners because I think they might be interested too.
Yeah, that's right up my alley. And it's amazing the kind of things that like Europe bans, but they're still legal in the United States. So it's kind of the public's duty to do the research themselves. So I commend her on all her work.
Yeah, she really kind of fell into it somehow. Like she needed to did she get sick or I don't know, somehow she needed to start eating just raw organic food, a bunch of it, and it was really expensive at the store, so she started like this food market in her neighborhood, just like where her and her parents and like one or two neighbors would get the wholesale price for the organic food, but she had to buy like this huge quantity of it. So then she like started having like these giant food market block party type of thing where she would get like a, you know, a semi truck of food delivered to like her parents' house, and they would like dole it out in shares, kind of like a CSA does, out of her garage. But then like the neighbors weren't too happy about that, all these cars showing up on Thursday night, and I don't know, it just grew from there. And then the next thing you know, she ended up starting to research food, and she's built this, she calls it the food army, and she's changing using public pressure. Yeah, it's neat. So she kind of does what you're saying, she's kind of doing that for people. So if they look it up, it's kind of a she's a neat resource. Jamie, how did you learn how to grow organically?
Doing my own research, pretty much. Looking it up online, well, having to write a research paper, it was kind of diving in, and I had to look at both sides of the story. So I wasn't only like, you know, one of those do it just to do it people. I wanted to know why, and why is that in our food to begin with? And a lot of times it comes back to like the corporations that are growing the food. So buy local, definitely.
Cool. I like that. Tell us about something that grew well this year. Let's hear about the garden that you guys got there.
Yeah, our garden, I'm so excited. It was a lot of fun. I did have a little garden back. I was living at my boyfriend's mom's house, just cucumbers, tomato, and beans, and couldn't figure out what kept eating the beans. I had a fence around it until it rained, and I could see the tunnel just sink into the ground. So I knew it was like a mole or something. They finally devastated all of those. But this year, we have pretty much a little bit of everything, corn, squash, cucumbers. What did the most prolific so far is I got some seeds from one of my friends that works, and I thought it was mustard greens, and I planted it, and it grew. It's actually mustard seed, so I have a bountiful crop of mustard seed that I'll be grinding down soon. It's laying out to dry right now. So.
Really? Oh, how exciting is that? What are you going to grind it in?
I'll probably get like a grinder to do some other of my herbs as well. I did not expect that, and everyone keeps like, what are you going to do with mustard? But it's now that I'm harvesting more things, you'd be amazed with what kind of recipes mustard goes in. So it'll be kind of fun to have that, my own mustard seed, to add it to pickles or what have you.
That sounds way cool. All right, awesome. And ambitious.
I know. Well, if you take the leaf, you can hang the whole plant upside down just over like a cardboard box or some paper bags. And as they dry, the seeds just kind of fall out. So you just sift it and you got the mustard seeds. It's not too hard to harvest.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I might have to check back with you and see how that goes.
Yeah.
How about something you're excited to try new or different next year?
Next year, let's see here. I wanted to keep better records of all my planting. And then, like, I do love watering, waking up at 6 o'clock before work and going out there to water, but I think installing a drip irrigation system would be very helpful for those days that I can't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm. I just talked to the episode that's going to go up tomorrow. This guy, David from Arley, said that his favorite tool was his drip irrigation system.
It is very nice. And they're not too expensive either, so...
Okay. And my husband keeps telling me he's got to do something. We got this book. This guest of mine, Joyce Pinson from Kentucky, recommended this book. He's a market farmer. I think his name is Jean-Francois. Oh, I can't say his name. He's a French guy from Canada. And he has this big diagram for an irrigation system where you build like a pond. So Mike pointed that picture out to me in the book the other day and said, this is what I want to do. Because I guess we need to build like holding ponds for water. Our wells keep running dry.
Wow.
I can't believe it. I know. All right. Tell us about something that didn't work so well this season.
My sugar snap peas.
Oh, okay.
The animals ate them. I do have a fence up, but it seems like those are just a favorite. And they would get them before it's even little 2 inches or two, I'd say 6 inches. They'd just... chomp on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fences are pretty much indispensable.
And then I also I had put, so I started doing seedlings indoors, cucumbers, some squash pretty early on. Mm-hmm. And when I put them outside, I did watch some videos on how to harden them off to introduce them to the light. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was pretty rainy here in the beginning of the season, so I would go a couple days with them out, gradually increasing the times, and then it would rain for 3 days, so I'd keep them inside. And finally, after I got them out all day, I thought they'd be good, and I set them out and they just burnt to a crisp in the sun. So mm-hmm. I'd actually replant all my cucumbers, but now they seem to be doing okay.
Yeah, sometimes when something dies, it seems like, or like has a really like shocking thing, they almost come out better in the end, but sometimes they don't make it. It's just kind of all a, you never know. And it's hard, I think, to keep on top of everything.
Yeah, with work and school and everything, especially. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I'd rather be out in the garden all day, so it's hard to find time to do the stuff I need to do.
All right, cool. How about something you find is easy to grow and generally successful every time?
Mine is that one, this seedlings this round with the cucumbers. I've had pretty good success with them. Last year they were humongous. They're just growing too fast. I could barely get rid of them on time.
Really? Okay.
Other than that, herbs, basil is pretty easy to grow.
Okay. How about something you'd steer new gardeners away from that you find is typically challenging to grow in your climate?
I heard, like, we have a pretty short growing season here up in Michigan, so watermelons that take like a longer season to grow, mm-hmm. They might not ripen in time. You know, the past couple years, tomatoes, some people have good harvest, but we get cold really quickly, and it's been really just, they had a lot of people I knew that grew tomatoes, they got rotten last year, so that's been a challenge, but hopefully this year mine seem to be on track, so keeping my fingers crossed.
It's hard. Tomatoes are hard. They're hard here too. I was gonna ask you about the basil, because to me basil is like the most fragile of everything there is. Basil can barely, like, you get to 32 and forget it, it seems like, at my house, even like on the porch where it's somewhat sheltered. I just feel like basil's the most... Do you find that?
Yeah, with the basil, once it starts getting... I have some in the ground near my mm-hmm. tomatoes for companion planting, but mm-hmm. the other ones, I have them in pots, and once it starts getting cold, I just bring them inside.
You do? Okay, cool. Which activity is your least favorite activity to do in the garden? There's something you got to force yourself to go out there and do?
That was a hard question. I couldn't really think of anything that I didn't like to do. I'd say when we first moved in here, we had two composting bins already made, and weeding those things, the weeds were like 2 feet deep, and it was brutal. I had just gotten rotator cuff surgery too, so my mom and I were going at that for a couple of days.
That's good though. I think that you said that you couldn't really think of anything in the beginning, because I think that really encourages people. So I don't mind. I like when people say that, and it makes it seem like it's not so hard if everybody says that. But there's always things that I think.
Yeah, and like
it's either way.
Yeah, and I'm trying to like learn as I go. So even if things don't make it, you know, it's an experiment, so to speak. So next year, you know how to do it differently and better. I feel like farming and gardening is always a live and learn.
So on the flip side, what's your favorite activity to do out there?
I really like planting the seeds, like getting dirty, you know, watching them start to sprout up. That would be my favorite. Harvesting them's fun, and thinking of the recipes that you can incorporate as many of the vegetables together.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about the best crop you ever grew?
Best crop?
Like, was there something so prolific you couldn't get rid of it all?
Those cucumbers last year, they're crazy. Yeah, and they were, like, I left some of them on the vine too long, and I've never seen orange cucumbers before. I don't know if it was just from like a chemical reaction to being on there for so long. They turned bright orange. I just couldn't eat them fast enough.
Did you eat them once they turned orange? Were they still good? Like they were edible still?
They were pretty bitter. So I would try to pick them, but they would still turn orange.
Weird.
I don't know.
Like a pumpkin.
Yeah, it really was. They were quite large too, like the size of a squash.
Huh, that's interesting. If you have a picture, we could put a picture in the show notes. That'd be cool.
I'll try to find one. I know I have one on my phone somewhere.
Excellent. What's the best gardening advice you have ever received?
I think it was from your podcast, and I don't remember the man's name, but it was just go and try it. It might have been said several times, just, you know, get dirty pretty much. Go. You learn the best by doing it yourself, so don't be afraid. And then, like, research is good, but you will retain more information once you actually do it yourself.
That's so true, isn't it? Once you try something, you don't forget it anywhere near as much. Have you ever entered a fair?
I haven't, not yet. I was just told that my squash this year would be a good candidate, though. For the Michigan doesn't have a state fair anymore. I think certain counties do, but we got rid of the big one a while back.
That's interesting. Who was I just talking to that I was saying I had asked about the fair question, and I said Mike's won. They said they never had a big enough squash or an eggplant or anything to enter, and I said Mike's won most of his prizes for having the most uniform size. Like they'll want like a plate of potatoes or a plate of green beans that are all, you know, like a unit, you know, the similar size. You know, they're all about the same length and all about the same thickness, and that's what they seem to look for a lot too. So if you have some stuff like that, you might want to enter that kind of thing too.
Do you have to, like, sell, like, a wholesale quantity to do? I've never really looked into selling it or to entering it into a contest.
Well, you definitely don't have to sell any. I don't know. Not at our fair. I mean, the fair is usually just local growers, I think. I don't know. I mean, we don't sell any of our food. We're just still growing for ourselves.
Okay.
But that's just something, I guess, that they look at, I guess, because it's agriculture, maybe. But I know... you know, he's gotten like for the beets, like you have to have like 5 beets, and usually there's a fair book. He was just telling me we should get the fair book and look and see what the theme is for this year. And then the fair book will tell you all the different categories and what the different things that you can enter are.
That's fun. Next year I'll try that.
Yeah. All right. So what's your favorite tool, Jamie, that you like to use? Like if you had to move and could only take one tool, what could you not live without?
Definitely my shovel, just for ease. I have this little hand shovel And it's razored on one edge, and the very tip of it has like a fork, so you can weed with the tip. You can shovel if you need to plant anything, and then it kind of works as a saw. So those, I left rows of grass in between my garden beds. I don't know if that was a good idea or a bad idea because it keeps trying to get into my actual planting. So I just take them and kind of cut them back with that razor shovel. And I don't even know what it's called, but it's awesome.
Cool. All right. Maybe you can send a picture of that too. That does sound awesome. Do you do any preserving? Do you got any secrets for freezing or canning or any of that kind of fun stuff? Dehydrating or anything else?
I'm starting my boyfriend's mom was big into canning, so she brought over all her cans, and I'm just about, after we're done with this conversation, I'm going to try my first pickling.
Okay.
Other than that, you know, we do freeze some stuff, like green beans, just blanch them and freeze them. I do eventually want to put out a root cellar in the basement to try to keep things for a longer period of time. I'm not sure how hard that will be, but it's on the list of things to do.
Okay, cool. Do you have any special techniques for cooking weird or unusual foods, or weird or unusual ways for cooking ordinary foods?
We grill a lot of food, so we just take some aluminum foil and put whatever's harvested or what sounds good in the foil, put some olive oil and whatever herbs, and kind of just make a pack of vegetables and potatoes, and we can eat that like 5 days a week.
Nice. Easy. Yummy. And I like that you explained it well, so we know what to do. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden? Is that it, or is there a different one?
Recipes. My mom has this cucumber sauce recipe. It's like sour cream, vinegar, some salt, paprika, and you kind of make like a sauce with it, and it's so good. Some garlic in there, and I can eat that every day.
Was there cucumber in it?
Yes, that's like it's like a cucumber salad, I guess, and that is, it's a Polish recipe, and it kind of has like a salty, vinegary taste, but it's creamy with the sour cream. I'll give you the recipe for that.
All right, so let me just make sure I understand. Do you peel the cucumbers?
Yep, you peel them. I like them with the seeds in, but my mom tends to scrape the seeds out, and then she just slices them and puts them in a bowl and salts that, and then she makes the sauce that goes on top. I don't know the proportions offhand, but it's mainly just vinegar, sour cream, salt, paprika. There might be some sugar in there too, don't quote me. And she lets that sit overnight, and then when it's ready to eat, she pours it together, and everyone seems to love it. It's nice and light for summertime. Delicious. Goes well with a number of things.
Oh, that sounds so good. I'm totally looking for something like that. All right. How about a favorite internet resource?
YouTube is like my go-to, especially recently. I have a tendency to just Google the first thing I do. I have a question to and look at the videos. And I ran across this gardening, I think her name is the Frugal Green Girl. She posts a lot of videos about everything pertaining to garden, and she explains things very well. So I'd say she's my go-to right now. Other than that, there's this, when I was first starting to plan out my garden, I wanted to know what companion plants would be good to go next to each other. Also, like crop rotation, what should I plant where next year so that it completely enriches the soil again. Mm-hmm. And I ran across this website called mygardenplanner.com, and you can put in what vegetables, and it has like a brief description of them, so you know like when to start, and it has everything all in one spot. So it tells you when to plant, when to harvest. You can print them out. I think there is a fee. I actually use mine to plan out the garden, and I printed the page so that I can put it in my gardening book next year. And I'm not sure if I'll end up paying for the subscription, but it was a great resource when first starting out.
Cool. See, that's why I think sometimes newer gardeners have lots of stuff to offer listeners that some people that have been maybe doing it for, you know, 30 or 40 years, like they don't have that new, you know, they don't, it's been so long since they've took those first steps. They just can't even go back that far to the basics.
Yeah, there's so,
I'm glad you shared that. So, go ahead.
I was just saying, I hear like the almanac.com, it would be another one for, and they have the garden planner as well, but they, my boyfriend will wake up in the morning and be like, no, plant today. It's a bad day for planting. And I'm like, where do you get that from? And he's like, oh, the Farmer's Almanac online. So they kind of are good. And I know a lot of old time farmers respect all the research that they've done.
Cool. I like that. All right. How about a favorite reading material, a book or a magazine or a blog?
There are so many gardening blogs out there, and I love them all. Reading, there's a book, I forget the name of the author, but it's about square foot gardening, and that's kind of what I'm reading to maximize the harvest in the little, in a small space. I have my garden planted in the ground this year, but I'm debating if I should do the above ground beds.
Oh, yeah. You know, I realize that we have some of both, but I mean, I'm definitely 100% proponent of the raised beds. To me, like once Mike built those for me, I want to go build some for my mom because I don't think she's ever had raised beds. Like to me, that's the answer. The dirt is so rich and thick, and the plant, the roots just grow down it. Like you don't even need a shovel. It's so soft. And I could just imagine the roots just love to grow down. And he has some that are like 4 feet tall and then some others that are 2 feet tall that you can sit around the edge, and it makes weeding easier, it makes harvesting easier, it makes everything so much easier. And so it makes it easier, but also I think the plants grow better. So I would give it a try. I totally recommend it.
Is there now for that, is there a certain kind of wood that you would use? Because I know I did a little bit of research, and I'm not sure, is it like cedar where it doesn't have chemicals or that the plants, it's going to harm the plants?
Yeah, you might. Well, I see, like, because we live in the woods, a lot of the times he'll either go cut the tree down itself so we know like where it came from, or there's a lot of like little, like kind of, you know, locally owned tiny mills where you can go get untreated wood. He was telling me that my favorite, he's made several different beds, and my favorite one is made out of these beams that are probably 6 inches by 8 inches, like kind of big, pretty wide beams. But he's made beds out of just all sorts of different material, you know, whatever we have laying around, or maybe if somebody does a project, there's some extra boards or some barn board, if somebody gave us some barn board off of somewhere. You can use all sorts of different, like even he built a raised bed out of like this boat that leaked, and it was just it's an old boat that he's turned into a raised bed too. Like you can use a lot of different materials, but just check your source wherever you're getting it from. And you know, to me the harder part is not building the bed, but finding the dirt, finding good stuff.
That was
to put
my
into
next
it.
Question.
Because, you know, the big box stores, I got to say, I'm a little hesitant about some of the dirt that they sell there. If you can find like a local farm where you can get maybe some manure to mix in with some regular dirt, or we scored 1 year, I don't know, like the Forest Service, the Fish, Wildlife and Parks dug up this huge pond, and this woman got to sell all the peat that came out of the pond, and we just hauled home dump truckloads of that, and that's what a lot of our beds are full of. But Mike did plant this mini farm this year, and I gotta say, it's grown right in the dirt. There weren't any raised beds, and it's grown like crazy. So like you said, do just start. And but if you can figure out, yeah, finding the dirt is the hardest part. Just, you know, try to save as much compost as you can, because compost really helps, and that's an easy one. You know, where you're just saving your scraps and mix some leaves or grass clippings or something you've got around. And yeah, the dirt's a tough one, I think.
now can you just go into the woods? And like, because I remember listening to one of your podcasts and they were mentioning like that's the best dirt is from just the natural decomposing leaves and stuff in the woods. And I've been tempted to take our little lawnmower out there and grab some, but I just don't know what else is living in there.
I think it really depends on the area, I would say. I mean, we're on 20 acres and we have a variety, and I've never seen Mike go out and dig any dirt out of the woods in the area. We've always, and we have really sandy clay soil here. Like, we've done a lot, like anywhere we are growing, we've either, you know, added tons of compost, brought manure from somewhere, or like I said, we brought that peat. I mean, we have shoveled almost every, even our lawn. So like our woods, I wouldn't think would be, I think it just depends on where you are, but other places might be.
Yeah, ours, I actually, part of MSU, they do a soil test, and I did do that, and the soil only needed a little bit of nitrogen, so maybe I can get away with stealing some dirt from the woods.
Yeah, or even for nitrogen, you could grow like a cover crop to put, like Mike's grown things before, like green beans also, I think, add a lot of nitrogen. Nobody should quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure. And like Mike grew wheat and turned it into the soil last year, and I guess there's different, he's wanted me to get some other cover crops and I haven't bought the seeds, but
so but
there's different things where you can just grow and it will build your soil.
In that you just sprinkle seeds down, like I heard like barley and a lot of the cereal mm-hmm. grains and mm-hmm. they just, so okay.
I'm thinking it's LaDonna Kinnick who I think is going to come back on again soon and talk to us about mosquito repellents and things. And she talked about that hygge culture where you pile the stuff up. And she said she was, I think that's what you're talking about. So, yeah, they said, and also John Moore in Australia talked about that method, too. He calls it the no-till method, where you're just constantly just building the soil using logs and different, stuff from the woods. So, yeah, I would think in the place where you are, I guess maybe try it, or maybe probably the biggest advice I think most of the people on my show have said, talk to your neighbors. See if anybody's tried anything near you. Of course, LaDonna's teaching her neighbors, and they've all been going, you can't do that, and she proved them wrong.
LaDonna. That was one of my first questions when I moved in, is like, what grows well here? And they were very helpful. I also heard for nitrogen, you can add some coffee grounds.
Yeah.
That would help.
Yeah. Well, coffee grounds, eggshells, those are all things we put in our compost. You said you have two compost bins, right?
Yep, I have one we dug up this year, and then I'll hold that one and start the other one next year. So it's kind of rotating and has time. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
We put a lot of coffee grounds in our, we drink a lot of coffee here. Are you ready for the final question already?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
It's fun.
If there was one change you would like to see Jamie to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or a project you would like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
I would have to say that the biggest problem right now in America is just people... the labeling of GMOs and then using conventional means of farming. Well, we're undergoing a huge drought in some of the states, and just from in the past, the Dust Bowl was a huge portion of it is contributed to all the chemicals and not rotating your crops. So I think that addressing those problems will help those in the future. I mean, everyone's always going to need to eat, so that's a very conscious thing to take care of.
You're the second person I think that said that this week.
Really?
That everyone's always going to need to eat, and we really need to pay attention to what we're doing.
Yeah, and I mean, how that's like, let food be thy medicine kind of thing. It's people need to eat healthy in order to feel good.
Excellent. Do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Let's get growing.
Oh.
I'd have to steal yours, I guess.
You're the best. How would listeners connect with you? Do you want listeners to be able to connect with you?
They can reach out to me. I have my design studio. It's asterixstudio.com. And then from there, I'll have my gardening blog out soon. So my email's on Asterix Studio. It's asterixstudio.com. And yeah, reach out to me. I love any suggestions or things to participate in. I am just now becoming kind of into this gardening community, and I'm looking for, you know, people to kind of help me along.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what's asterixstudio.com. Is that your graphic design studio?
Yep. It's pretty much a portfolio, just how to contact me, a little bit about me. I just recently put that up. I'm a graphic designer getting into web design. So that is my resource on the web right now.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jamie, for sharing your knowledge. I know listeners are going to learn a lot today. It's nice to hear from somebody who's also new and, you know, just starting out their journey. So I think this is going to inspire a ton of people. So thank you.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com, and it will link right to the show notes and all that we've talked about on today's show. If you like what you've heard today, we'd love it if you would head over to iTunes and give us a hopefully 5-star review. It really helps us get found and share the knowledge with other listeners. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.